nice spring evening on the verge of being spring, so it's nice to see you all. Better night than it was last week.
I had a headache. You didn't have to do that.
Oh, sorry. Look, here, Carol.
Thank you. Not drinking or anything either.
All right. Okay, approval of the agenda is circulated, item number 2.
Approval of the agenda?
So moved. Seconded? Okay. Moved. Now, business arising from the minutes, and can I just kind of add a few words here? This is probably the, at least for me, this is the first time that we're actually not approving minutes for this committee. I don't know what may have happened that in the past, but this was new to me tonight, knowing that there aren't any minutes to be approved. There are notes from the meetings, not minutes of the meetings, and therefore do not require actual approvals. But business arising from the minutes or the notes of the meeting is an item on the agenda, and the notes were in fact circulated for the meeting. So if there are any or is any business arising, then so should we say business arising from the minutes or business arising from the notes of the
minutes?
All right, thank you. When you get old, it's harder to keep things straight. If it's minutes, it's minutes. If it's notes, right?
I got to ask the question, why are we minutes and notes?
It's the clerk.
Yeah.
Municipal clerk.
We made this switch a while back. I'm not sure why it didn't come through. It's just in streamlining
committees?
Our minute-taking process.
For committees. And,
yep, exactly.
Yes.
Yep. Yep. So some of our committees, we don't even assign a formal minute taker. It's to reduce the administrative cost of maintaining committees for council.
Yeah. So Alex, I don't feel so bad. They don't seem to know either.
No.
So it's, I feel good.
It was definitely at the administrative
I feel
floor.
Good. All right. Hearing no questions on or business arising from the notes, we'll move on to 3.1. And Chris, we are very, very glad to see this policy here. The last time we had this policy, you weren't here. And we knew that you were off on sick leave because the numbering system was really way off.
All right. So we'll go through this. I did notice earlier that the numbering system at the very start isn't right, but we'll rectify that. That's not a biggie. That's easy to fix. But we're going to go through all of the amendments to the policy. And we're not going to go word for word. We're just going to do what is actually being changed. So if you look at page 2 and H, the pump testing, so there was, I'll just read that section. Pump testing means testing of access of the apparatus pump pressures and flows to meet ULC certification with the plate affixed to the pump panel or manufacturer's requirement for a pump system stated type being tested. So that's kind of the changes were in the RID just to update and clarify that a little bit. And self-contained breathing apparatus functional testing means testing performed by as per NFPA 1852 chapter 7.1 under user maintenance and manufacturer requirements to ensure that SCBA meets all operational specifications and performance parameters. So that was just the definition for the new part of the SCBA. Now go down to number 4. And we took a consideration for approval because we just wanted to make it a little clearer what that meant. So it's organizational requirements for this part of it. So on 4.1, it'll be we took out some of the wording there. So that first part, the only thing that is in there now is an organization applying to be registered as a fire and emergency services provider must meet the following requirements. And we took out that number 2 part. Because it kind of was, it should have been placed in another spot, so it's down in another spot in the policy. And 2, the body corporate must meet, so this is just numbering stuff. There's nothing changed in the wording there, so it was just to renumber it after we took 2 out, so we don't need to read that. Next one goes down to 6 on page 3 at the top of the page. Premium covered for sections 4.4 and 5 are to be deducted from November fire payments, so that's the WCB and the insurance. This? The 2 insurance things that we have. So those are those. And then the next heading is fire protection requirements.
So I have a question on number four.
Yeah.
Would that not be 4.1, wouldn't 2, 3, and 4, and 5 be A, B, C, and D? Because are they not related to the first part? One, an organization must meet the following requirements, and it would be A, B, C, D, would it not, rather than a section number?
Well, it's a subsection of the number. If you look on...
But like you look in definitions, too, in this policy, 2A, it says A to... H, yeah. A to I, right?
But if you look on, just look on page 4. So you see on number 6 on page 4, that's section 6, but then there's an A and a B part of a subsection to that. So that's why I think they're numbered the way they are.
Yeah, it's just that the body corporate and like 2, 3, 4, and 5 of 4.
Yeah, but they're all individual parts of the section, so that's why they're not
okay.
Like that, right?
It just doesn't seem...
Can I bring one thing up? I just want something, if you see, you can add it. On the H, right at the very top, you've got EULC. Can we put a slash NFPA because there's two different standards now for certification, believe it or not? Because we had Metal Fab down the other day, and she wanted to know, do we want a ULC tested or do we want an NFPA standard?
That must just be new, is it?
NFPA.
NFPA. There's two different standards.
I always thought they had to be
NFPA.
I always thought they had to be ULC for Canada.
Yeah, they're going to be switching over here. They're thinking that there's only going to be one eventually.
I heard they were looking at that.
Yeah.
So we'll put that in.
Because she asked us if we wanted it either or.
Okay. Well, that's easy. I knew they were thinking about it, but I didn't know they got that far. Okay. That's good.
All right. So we are over to
number 5. So fire protection. They just took out department and put fire protection requirements. And then the number 2 there. So it was 625 gallons per minute. We added 250 in there. And I think I sent out a little blurb from NFPA to that regards. Yes. And that's their initial first response truck or quick response truck can be one of those. And that's what it states in the book. We don't have any of those. But there are some quick response pumpers out there that are 500 GPM. So they would have been under that grading. So that's why we just lowered it to cover anything that could be there to the present level, what NFPA calls an engine for pump capacity. And then we have NFPA 1921 and the sections, and will also include compressed air foam systems or high pressure system types, and then they must meet the requirements as per the other section. So we added that in there because there are compressed air foam systems out there, and I know there was a department or two I heard talking about high pressure systems, so maybe we'll include that all in there now in case any of them come to be, and then we don't have to go back in and redo it again. It'll cover that. And then we just renumbered the sections. And in number 4, we added everything that had a shall in it is now a must. They're just making some clarifications for ease of understanding, clear writing and stuff. So that's what they put that in there for. Number 5... put assistant instead of work with any fire department, so they put assistant there, and then in developing and instead of towards a plan. So those are the only things that we really changed in that section. Number 7, it's just again just some clarification of some wording there. Nothing really changed in it other than shall was changed to a must, and put was have, and then and other as required. So the basic verbiage of the clauses and chains, they just changed some of the wording to make it more clear. And then the other one was just numbering on 9. 10 was just another one of the shalls that would change the will. And then this is the self-contained breathing apparatus, one that was changing. So number 1 in section 6.1, SCBA function tests must result in the required starting, so I'm going to read that again. SCBA function test will result or required starting and will required on June the 15th, registration cycle and continuing each fiscal year. Number 2, the test must be performed by certified technician trained in the maintenance of the SCBA type being tested. 3, fire service coordinator will assist the fire department in developing a plan if issues arise from SCBA functional testing. Number 4. So this verbiage is pretty much really.
Yes. Are there different types of SCBAs?
Yes. So that's why it's worded that way, because it covers any of the different types. Now, three, where we're at. Fire service will assist departments in developing a plan if any issues arise from SCBA functional testing. Four, in the event that an SCBA fail and need repairs during testing, resulting in the inability to perform and required firefighting activities, registrations may stay in place if registered fire department does the following. A, department provides fire service coordinated with a written plan for repairs required to the affected SCBA. B, temporary replacement FCBA in good standing can be found and is in place. Five.
Yeah. Back to number four. In the event that the SCBA fails
with an S.
Fails or needs repairs during testing,
should be yeses, yes.
Yeah, do we need to have resulting in the inability would not. If it failed, obviously they can't use it. If it needs repairs, well, obviously they can't use it. So would it not just be better to alleviate from result to activities and just say that in the event that SCBA fails or needs repairs during testing, registration may stay in place if the registered fire department needs the following? What do you think? What does it mean? Trying to simplify it.
Yep. I think that what's happening there is you could have a SCBA unit fail, but you might still be able to, through other equipment, provide your firefighting services.
But not the SCBA.
Or it could be one unit.
Exactly.
It could be just one out of 12 that may fail, and you're not going to not register them, right?
Yeah, the purpose of this section is to make sure it's clear. We want you to do the testing. We want you to do the work to get those repaired. Just because you fail doesn't mean, like, if a piece of equipment fails, you're not going to have your registration as a fire service provider revoked.
Right. Yeah. Well, I just didn't know if resulting in the
Because these are the air tanks.
Yes, yes. So if air tank fails, then me as a firefighter, I can't use it.
Right. This registration is referring to registration as a department. So you could have individual pieces fail, but this is also saying you could have your entire, like if you had enough equipment fail that you couldn't provide the services on your registration package, the municipality won't revoke your registration. We'll just work with you to get your equipment repaired so that you can continue to provide that service. But you have identified that we are missing some S's in that sentence, and we'll fix that.
Okay. Carolyn.
So I'm not sure if I'm right or wrong on this, what I'm going to say, but I thought there should have been a C and just stated taken out of service until it passes the test. Because you're saying that until you have a written plan, it may never pass a test. It may be deemed whatever, non-functional something. Is that possible with this piece of equipment?
Yeah,
that it could be rendered inoperable?
It could.
It could,
yeah. So you could actually just address that by putting repairs/replacement under A. So you can either repair or replace.
But you may not need to replace it because I may have more units than I actually require.
Well, you've replaced it with one of those spare units then.
But if I have 20 and I guess, all right, you need to know if I have 20 or 19 is what you're saying.
No.
All right.
No, I think we're, our fine-tooth comb has become incredibly fine.
No, well, I'm just saying that if I've got a unit and I've already got enough to operate the fire department or the crew that's using BA.
Yep.
And one of these, but I'm testing them all. If this unit is something wrong with it that I can't use it, I'm just going to take it out of commission. I'm not going to replace it or fix it if it's not able to be. So it's just it's going. And we're saying that until we fix it. Are we not?
Yeah, or replace. So if you
a written plan for repairs may not be necessary.
But if you put slash replacement, then that's fine as well. You know, so if someone's got 30 tanks and they only have 20 active firefighters, one tank fails,
so they take
it out of service.
Just get rid of it. If it can't be.
Practically speaking, what's going to happen is they're going to report to us that all of their equipment is working because they've taken that one out of service. So we don't, I don't think it's a scenario we need to worry about covering off in policy.
Is everybody okay with that?
Maybe, this is just on number four, maybe it should be in the event that a SCBA unit, or S plural, fails. Because the odd, when you say SCBA, is that the whole lot failing at one time, or is it a unit failing? In the event that a SCBA unit fails or needs repair during testing, resulting in inability, blah, blah, blah.
But these are tested individually.
Yes, they are.
So I don't know if we have to get that specific. Mm-hmm. This is an SCBA functional testing of the SCBA in-house. I don't know if we really need to say each unit. They're tested individually. It's not tested
that
in the group.
I understand that. I know.
Could be, though.
But
I don't know if it needs to be that definitive or not.
Yeah.
You could put an "or" there, and it's no big deal. In the event that a SCBA fails or needs repairs during testing.
Okay. Any other flea-type combs to comb through that one with, or be good? All right, we'll continue.
We'll put some flea powder on it and move along.
Yep, that's good. What's that pill they take for fleas?
All right.
Where were we here?
Six? Five.
Okay. If repairs are extensive and the fire department is unable to afford repairs on the advice of a certified technician and repairs are not cost justifiable due to condition of the SCBA, the fire department must have a neighboring department or departments on automatic call for any or all emergency calls for the use of SCBA. The chance of them all failing are slim. However, it should be something in there just in case, right? Because there could be somebody with older SCBAs and they could fail. So it's just a protection to make sure that you have somebody on cover for you. Same as if a pumper went down, they had the ability to have somebody cover for that, right? Number six, failure to complete the SCBA functional testing in advance of the registration deadline may result in municipality withholding grants to the department until successful SCBA functional testing is complete. Same thing as for the pump flow checks that they do, testing. Number seven, where a total disregard for SCBA functional testing occurs, fire services coordinator will notify council and recommend deregistration of a fire department and options for alternative fire service coverage.
Can we just go back to six again just for a moment? It says may result in the municipality withholding grants, so we don't withhold for other things.
No, they decided just
it's
to go
may.
With the grants so that they didn't totally stop a fire department from having funding. Number eight, page five. Failure to complete SCBA functional testing in advance of registration deadline may result in...
That's the same thing, isn't it? That's the same thing.
Yeah, so we'll just scratch that.
No, they're two different things.
Let me look.
One's where a total disregard happens. Okay. One is a failure to complete. It's kind of the same.
Registration deadline.
So the one is, the total disregard one is... Like, no, we're not doing it. And the other one is they didn't get it done on time, but they're planning on getting it done that year. So I think that's kind of where that one was added in there.
Are you talking about
on
six
time.
Versus seven?
Eight. Six versus eight.
No, they should test everything they have because anybody could be wearing it. If it's in service, it should be tested.
If it's in service, they should all be tested.
So how did we get that?
They all should be tested? I don't know these things.
Well, in number 6-1.
If you're doing your flow testing and every year, it's going to be they're all going to be done. They should be.
I don't know.
6 and 8.
No, they're not.
They are.
Oh,
So.
I don't know if you need to say all or not. We're talking about the SCBA that the department has needs to be tested. If they're, if they have SCBA that they're using, they should be tested. If they're not functional, then they shouldn't be put out to be using. If they're not functional, you can't test them.
No.
Well, I don't know. That's why I was asking. Whatever is appropriate,
that's what we should do. I guess we could add all in there. Then it would encompass everything, I guess.
In 6.1, is that kind of where you're starting at the beginning of this, maybe?
Six.
Right at the beginning of it?
I don't know if we need to be that deep in it or not.
I think you're making it more complicated.
We're just saying that.
When you say that, you're referring to all that they have in.
That's how we interpret it. Was
yes.
Your SCBA that you have should be tested if it's something
right.
That's going to be utilized.
Yeah.
Maybe you can have that in the definitions. You wouldn't have to do it again. Right? If you had it in the definitions. At the very beginning, you have definitions of different words, what they mean. Alex is shaking his head, yes.
So you want something added in there? Alex?
So the counselor's suggestion is an appropriate one. If there's a lack of clarity about what you're referring to when you see the words SCBA in your document, then amending the definition to clarify that's an appropriate way to do that. So we could certainly adjust that. I'd rather not try and do it at the meeting, but on its way to council, we can revise the definition there in 2I. To just refer to all units in service in a department.
Mm-hmm. All right. Clear. Number 9. Have we already read that? I think council may deregister a fire department under recommendation. Fire Service Coordinator, Council will not consider re-registration of the Fire Department until the Department reapplies for registration with satisfactory SCBA functional testing. Then number 7 is on the registration. Number 7, we just referred back to some of the sections because when some of the numbering changed, the sections, we just wanted to verify it. So that's what those changes are. And again, shall was changed to must. Number 2, the same thing. Just for clarity, shall was changed to will. And each year was changed annually. Number 3, again, it was a shall must. Number 4, shall much of each, again, annually. Number 5, shall was again changed to must. And then in number 5, at the end of it, it was just that upon meeting section 7.4. So that's just meeting the other requirements and the documentation is what that was added for, just to clarify what that meant. Notification. So I'll kind of read that because there's enough of a change that just to make it sound more sensible. The municipality must advise in writing of any council's approval to register as a body corporate for fire and emergency services as per section 7 of this policy. So they'll just tell the fire, whoever's looking to be a fire and services provider, that they meet that registration in number 7. Ratepayers meetings. Just talking about the minutes of these meetings must be maintained and available upon request. Just a little easier to understand than in the minute books of organizations because not everybody keeps minute books anymore, just that they have to be available upon request if somebody asks for them in the public. Number 9.2, so again, it was a shall-must change. Number 4, shall-must again, same with number 5. Ratepayers, so they put a cannot or can instead of the not. So ratepayers cannot request a reduction in the proposed fire rate that diminishes overall protection. So they just added the cannot to make that more clear. Same with number 7 was just a shall and must change. Number eight, there was just some, I'll read that whole sentence, for fire departments that are required to have an annual ratepayers meeting to set, and then was their fire tax rate. This information is clearly identified in the notice. So that's the advertisement that goes out. Any, let's see, number 10 was, again, a shall must. On number C, and then page 7, it's another shall must. And then D was a shall to will. And number 11, they just took a couple of words out there, and they added a shall must, and then at the end of it, they just added a section of some a sentence to make it clearer. So received at the annual fire services meeting held in April of the current year, or it can be requested electronically. So that's the registration package. It can be electronically given out as well as paper format. And it's not on the website. It's just given out on at the meeting. WCV, so that's where that clause was taken out in one of the earlier sections and moved here on a clause all by itself. That the municipality pays workers' compensation premiums for all registered volunteer firefighters and junior firefighters. This will be a minimum yearly salary used by WCB and set by the municipality to calculate premiums for all registered firefighters, volunteer firefighters. And number 11, recognition. The municipality recognizes the value of commitment of fire services and will provide recognition for both individual departments and members for years of service to the municipality. And those are all of the actual changes. And on the last page there, it just shows the changes.
Can I back you up to number 12?
Yeah.
From the shell to the will.
Number 12.
For all registered fire and emergency services providers who do not have a fire taxing power provided by their act of incorporation, the municipality will approve the rates. Is that?
That is correct.
So why was it shell?
It's just a plain language.
I think they just wanted to change it.
Okay.
This part of our work.
Regardless what that rate is, we must? That's what I'm reading into it now. So if you guys, somebody decided they wanted a $10 rate, we will approve the rate.
Council, for the societies that are registered, council does retain that ability. The switching the words from shall to will, there's no functional difference in how it's interpreted. These are only accessibility changes when we started doing accessibility audits to make sure that, for example, screen readers can read things. The experts that helped us develop those protocols identified common language that was used in municipal documents that is like old historical terms that aren't in common usage anymore, and other ways that we could make our documents read more simply for folks that don't have much legal background or higher education or those kinds of things. So that's all that's happening there. In terms of the taxation authority, if you're a department that's created as a corporation under a private member's bill or through the Rural Fire District Act.
The majority don't.
They have the ability to set the rate themselves. The rest of them, through registration with the municipality and through the process
where they have ratepayers meetings,
technically recommend a rate to council, and council has the final say.
So may approve, really?
Well, that's why I say it doesn't read that way to me. That's why I...
It's almost like we're just going to rubber stamp it.
And shall used... Shall means the exact same thing.
Yes. Shall and
but
will
But is it
means,
right? That's what I'm
may.
Asking.
May.
Well, I don't like may because, yeah, we're going to do
it's
it.
It's left at your discretion, though.
But here it sounds like we don't have a choice.
Yes, you're right. And this is where the municipality would not approve a rate if they don't agree with it.
Which probably would never happen, but I'm just saying.
So
is it?
No. The purpose of the policy is to say, yes, we'll do that, but there's requirements there around the ratepayers meeting earlier in the
policy.
But maybe it should be the municipality approves the rates and take out shall and will altogether.
Sure. Yeah.
Does that make?
Taking out words is always, almost always a better way.
It just looks like will approve. Like you said,
yeah.
If we decide we want 50 cents on the dollar or the 100, you're going to give it.
Yeah.
Right.
So, and functionally speaking, the way that the municipality has done this is, you know, there have been times when there has been concerns about a rate. For example, I believe there was a department not that long ago, and by not that long ago, I mean the last 20 years, where the ratepayers unilaterally slashed the rate, and it made it a level that was not possible to actually provide fire service, and council didn't approve that, in fact, made amendments to the policy to permit that. So
this allows us to do that?
I mean, technically speaking, this is just a policy of council. And so council can then decide to do... you have more broad financial powers in the Municipal Government Act, which allows you to collect the property taxes. So this is telling you how you go about doing that. So I would strongly recommend that you don't meddle with these sections of the policy. You may unintentionally signal to fire departments that you might intervene in their budget setting process. You have a system in place which has been working across the various types of departments. And the reality is you have the authority to vary the rate if you're not comfortable with the rate that a society has set that's providing a fire service, not for the other type, but for a society. No. So I wouldn't recommend tinkering with that stuff. And if you want to go down that road, I would use that as a separate agenda item where you could have policy paper and you could discuss those elements, because what you're trying to deal with here is just plain language revisions and including SCBA testing as part of your policy.
I'm not sure you were that convincing to her.
I just got a question.
No, but we can leave it, but it doesn't sound right to me.
Just a question, because I want to, just for my own thoughts, if somebody, the department did put in request for one and council didn't like it, how does it work? Does council go back to the fire department and ask them, like, to justify it, or? It's only a question, because I really don't know.
Yeah, I mean, that's partly why we don't want to address this just as a sort of in flight while we're dealing with a different type of policy amendment. Technically, council could reject, regardless of what was
they wouldn't
in this
pass
policy.
The motion. They wouldn't pass the recommended motion.
Right.
Yep.
Which means it would go back to the fire department to, they would be at their same rate.
So this particular, as I said, there's three different ways that a department could be registered.
Yeah.
So if you're a society and then
that's
you register as a fire service provider, technically council, at its own discretion, regardless of what happened at your ratepayers meeting or what you wanted as a budget, council could set whatever rate they thought was appropriate for
we're not going to.
That, exactly. That's why I'm saying, please don't open this can of worms.
Yeah. We're not.
No, but just a point before, Martin, before. I know that on the ones for the societies, there was a voters list done up, and on the top of that voters list, there, in fact, in some instances, were to a rate that cannot exceed 15 cents, as an example, no matter what. It's right in the petition. People sign those in the communities based on that knowledge that that rate would not exceed that. It might not be on all of them, but it is on a whole lot of them. And, you know, that manages it as well. So you need to be
cognizant of that fact, right?
But the commission acts say the same kind of stuff.
Yeah,
they say you can't borrow more than $25,000 into buying $500,000 trucks. So, I mean, you've got
to
be careful.
No, but I'm just saying that on the original voters list that the people used to actually go around and get people to sign up to have fire tax in the community.
Oh, back in the day.
Back in the day, that had in an amount, because they didn't know what the fire tax rate would be over time, in an amount not to exceed 15 cents as an example, right? So, just saying.
But those predated the Municipal Government Act.
Yes, they did.
The Municipal Government Act provides council with the authority to set fire tax rates. They're unfettered in that responsibility.
Yes.
So they could apply whatever rate they deemed appropriate. We have a policy set up indicating how they want fire departments to engage with the community and set a rate. And this policy is saying we'll abide by that. But there's expectations on the department to complete appropriate and informed community engagement before they recommend that rate to council.
For sure. Okay.
I don't recommend you tinker with these sections of the policy.
Okay, Councilor Bell.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. That does go both ways, because I can use two examples. One, when Mr. Kennedy was fire chief, he set a rate to buy a new truck, and a large number of constituents felt that he was making an unreasonable request.
Really?
So my answer to those individuals is that I felt it was a good business decision on behalf of the fire department, and I was willing to defend them at council, which I did. So when their rate came in and a number of people complained, I said, no, I think that rate is needed, and gave some reasons, and they got the rate as they approved. Another one was in Blockhouse a few years ago, and they were going to put the fire department out of business because they stacked the meeting. Council went with the fire department and against the constituents who we felt did not have a fair knowledge of what was required to maintain the fire department at a good level. So I think that there is a cushion of trust there that goes both ways.
Yes. Thank you, Councilor Bell. All right. That's it. So we need a motion to...
No.
No?
Number 10.
Number 11.
No. Or
11?
The workers' compensation?
Yes. Okay, he's 10.
Can junior firefighters receive workers' compensation? I thought there was an age on this.
I don't think,
like a 12-year-old, you can start in the junior fire department, can't you?
Yeah,
some do.
But you don't work.
Yeah, but workers' comp is only for people that work.
It's for eight, isn't it? Eight. I think it's a higher age for workers' comp than anything.
Well, I thought he told me they were covered because.
Oh, okay, but I don't know 100% on that,
so
but I didn't think they were eligible.
Yeah, I believe that our rate is based on the number of members, which includes those members. And it's workers' compensation replaces wages. It's unusual in this scenario because you're volunteering, but it's replacing up to a cap your work wages that you would lose if you were injured while you were volunteering. So you could have a junior firefighter who has a part-time job that would lose wages that could then get workers' compensation benefits.
And I think it also covers like...
I still thought even as an employer, they only paid workers' comp at a certain age.
Workers' comp is based on your total payroll. So that includes everyone, no matter what the age. But you're like your CPP is, you're
no,
exempt
your CPP
until
is 18.
But your workers' comp is based on your total payroll, not the ages of your employees.
Yeah.
And it replaces income.
Yeah, and it would help them if, like, say if they got injured or something like that, it gives them like access to physiotherapy and that kind of stuff, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Not so much like topping off a wage, but for... you know, doctors or whatever
the
treatments and those kind of things.
Workers' compensation provides for.
But,
yes.
Are you saying that if they don't work, workers' comp would kick in and pay for their physio? Because I don't think that's the case.
They have to be working.
Yeah, workers' comp covers your wage loss. And medical due to losing wages.
We can have that checked out, Kim.
Okay. It doesn't. I don't think it matters here anyway because they are covered if they have a part-time job.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. There's slightly more than just wage compensation, though. You know, if you're on workers' compensation, you can be ordered by workers' compensation to, for example, complete physio, mm-hmm. and then they bear some of those costs.
Because I know I had emails back and forth with the WCB account manager and specifically asked if junior firefighters were covered. He said, yes, they're part of the program. They're covered. So.
Okay.
So, I guess, now we're done?
Okay. I think. So we need a motion. It's been moved. Do we have a seconder? Seconded. Dean?
Dean.
Dean. Any questions on the motion?
Question.
Question's been called. All those in favor, signify by raising your right hand. Against? Motion carried. Okay, item 3.2, member at large vacancy. So we've got a nominating committee, and there's a verbal report, or?
I can. Are you guys okay with that?
Sure.
So the four of us met tonight, and we put do you want the person's name that we're nominating?
Yeah, who you're recommending to council.
Patricia, bring up your email.
Sharp.
Patricia Sharp. Is our recommendation for the member at large, and we've sent that email to Sandra and to Chris.
So we need a motion for
yes. So this committee will have to make a motion to approve, recommend this individual to council.
Yeah. I'll make a motion to recommend Patricia Sharp.
Do you have a seconder? Seconded. Questions on the motion?
What's the person's name? I can't hear from people not speaking in the microphone.
No. Patricia Sharp.
Patricia Sharp.
From West LaHave.
Yes. Patricia Sharp, Sharpe, from West LaHave.
Okay, so we have a mover and a seconder. All those in favor of the motion, signify by raising their right hand. Against, motion carried. So page 10 is the agenda for the annual general meeting.
So that's just to give everybody an idea of what's going to take place at that meeting. So we had Andrew McLean on there from the Fire Underwriter Survey to come in and do a little talk, and he's going to talk about automatic mutual aid and the benefit of it, because that was one of the discussions that we had at one of the last meetings. And then Sarah Karski is our corporate services director or manager and communications. She's going to give a five-minute presentation on the municipal matters and fire services newsletters that go out. So she's going to do a little blurb on that to see if there's any ideas or fire departments that have somebody out there that might be like to do a story on or some ideas. So she's going to do a little thing on that. And I'm going to do my report. The chair will do his report. Then we'll do the registration packages that we always do, send them out, and all the other items that go along with that will be available. Appointment of the four representatives for Fire and Emergency Services Committee, so you'll probably see something coming out in the next week or two, asking for anybody that has nominations and if the members that are currently on it would like to stay there, so we can get that report done up ahead of the meeting. It has to be done 7 days prior to it, but I'll just get it out a little early so everybody has time to think about it a bit. New items, I don't know, they'll talk about the SCBA mandatory testing. It'd be effective on 2025, and a set date for the 2025 annual general meeting and then an adjournment. So that's kind of the gist of the annual meeting.
Yeah, it's for information purposes only, in case
basically.
You just look at it and see if there's something missing from the agenda. Questions on that, or do you see something that...
Do we recommend a date?
For this one?
For the next 2025?
No, we haven't.
We could be at the meeting, though. We could be. It might be logical to actually recommend it to the group, I would think.
It's the same time every year, isn't it?
It's usually the same time.
So it'll be the 10th, 9th, 10th,
11th. So we actually should put the date in there, and then people can.
Yeah, we'll do that.
April 9th, 10th, or 11th. I don't know what you would do.
For 2025?
Yeah. Before we know it. April the 9th, 25.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a Wednesday.
That's Easter. Chris, the registration packages. Is that going to have the information on it from last year?
Do
we got to change anything? Because I know the last couple times I got it from a few years back, and I got to change everything.
I shouldn't have to.
I normally do.
I know. I try to get them as best I can.
Okay.
I'll do my best to get that.
But it's usually it's supposed to be 1 year back.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, the rabbit's not going to let them know.
All right.
What kind of rabbit you got?
Really?
Next item is LRFES report, and for those that were at that meeting, so Dean, you were, and I was there, and we had some. I've got no written report, but we had some real good discussion because the committee itself is looking at its bylaws and its purpose. And we talked a lot about how we're trying to get the committee to understand what its roles will be. And we've been doing some things, like fit testing as an example, with equipment, paying for that to be repaired, something that we probably shouldn't have been doing because it needs to be done. It should be done by qualified professional. And, you know, this committee's been working towards health and safety items, so I think it's going to come into play in the very short or near future. And we also, I think I mentioned this to you, Chris, we've been paying for advertising towards the Fire Prevention Week. We have really no resources for that. Currently, about 27 fire departments at $10 a head, we get $270 a year in revenue. So we don't have a lot of money to spend to do a whole lot of things. And but the committee members and fire departments within that group spend a lot of time putting together things related to training and a lot of, you know, however you want to look at that, a lot of time is dedicated by volunteers to make training happen in the municipality of Lunenburg. So that was acknowledged and needs to be acknowledged kind of in a go-forward position. So, and I know that the training people have been working with you, Chris, try to get things in perspective of moving forward and looking at training funds being used for training purposes. And then thus the LRFES committee kind of getting back into originally what it was set up to do and membership and look at different kinds of membership potentially, those kind of things that we hope will come over the next number of months. So I don't know, Dean, if there's anything else. You know, we did speak about this committee briefly. I know Chief Zink made his point about this committee and the fact that we probably shouldn't be having what he would call these workshops because it's nothing recorded from that. But my point to him was, and it's the same to you, when you get this many people trying to get somewhere, you need to get the people that are here in focus as to where you're going, what you're going to be talking about, because I'm getting old. And one thing that I do know is that I want to make good use of my time, and I want to come in and be able to accomplish some things so that at the end of the day, we all feel that we've actually made a contribution to the fire service, made things better. And one of them has always been the key to this, to me anyway, and most people, is the health and safety of the firefighters and making it better. And, you know, we've got a lot to be proud of where we've come, but we still have a lot more to do. But, you know, the members that are from the fire service that sit here are dedicated to making things work. So I'm hoping that LRFES will, as we go forward, get its priorities in perspective and when I report back in the future, or whoever, if it's not me, will be able to keep this committee informed as to the good things that that committee, in fact, is doing. So thank you. New business. Five point one, changes to annual registration package.
So one of the meetings we discussed some different one of the meetings we talked about looking at getting some other information on the registration packages. We looked, asked about level one trained and certified, how many wrote there, what kind of mutual aid was in place, was there automatic mutual aid in place. So instead of trying to change the registration package itself, because it's very clumsy to work in, because it's just an Excel spreadsheet and there's lots of little pockets and places into it where it's really hard to manipulate it. So I think we're just going to add a piece of paper with a request on it asking for that information from the fire departments. Instead of having it inside the package somewhere, it'll still be asked for, but it'll be just be attached to the package instead of trying to manipulate it in that package somewhere, just to make it somewhere we can gather that information. And then there was Sandra's working with me on trying to redo the package into a Word format that's fillable. So it'll be easier for people to go in and change something on it if they want. And if that gets approved, it'll come to this committee, of course. Then I'll be able to repopulate it for the fire departments before they get it the next year, so they won't have to go through and fill out the entire form, right? Because I know that's time-consuming. And I try to update it from one year to the next, and I know I miss some stuff, but I try to get it the best I can. So that's where we're working on right now. And a couple years ago, we added, when the November payment checks come out, the payment vouchers come out also with them, and it has all the different grant amounts, all the grants that go with the different premiums for insurances. It gets their opening balance, and it gives the remainder of the fire tax balance. And also in the registration package and the matching grant page, there's a spot there where it duplicates that again. And in January or March, in November or January, when we do the budget stuff with this committee, you get that big spreadsheet that has all of that on it again, what everybody gets. So I would like to propose that we take that section off of the registration package that duplicates that all over again, because it's easy accessible for fire departments to ask for, and they get it in the November check, and they also get it when we do the budgetary process. So just take that out of there. It's just one less thing that we have to look at or try to populate. So that's kind of all there is for that, if everybody's okay with that.
Yeah, that's good. Thank you, Chris. Added items. No added items. In camera. Nothing to go in camera for. Then looking for a motion to adjourn. Been moved by Dean.
I was just going to say,
you're getting
I got you twice.
Thank you all.